Let's say that hands together and say, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation knowledge freely flowing without distractions or confusion. We believe and receive in this atmosphere, there is no error whatsoever. Together as a church, we believe Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he remains glorified as we are edified, built up by the power of your Holy Spirit, not for our sakes alone, but those who hear us in the body of Christ every day. Amen. Now this morning, we want to look at quench not the spirit. Just after camp meeting, we need to examine what to do after meetings like that. Oftentimes you have the mountaintop experience, then the valley low experience for some people. So whenever they talk about the move of God, they always refer to the past. So let's go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, and I want you to pay very good attention. Oftentimes Christians have a good time in a meeting. I remember years ago, I think that was 1992, a friend of mine gave me a tape by Dr. Miles Monroe. And Dr. Miles Monroe was a preacher known in the world, but he's not around anymore. And Dr. Miles Monroe made a very important statement. Of all he said, I remember it was the Azusa meeting that he preached at, 1992 December. And then he said many things. But one thing that stuck was how he explained Christian meetings. He said, you don't go to a Christian meeting to have a good time. He said, even though you could have a good time, he said, God calls a meeting to give you a mandate, which means when you leave a service like this, you must have what you are meant to do after. When you leave camp meeting, you must have what you are meant to do afterwards. It's not like you go for a concert, you know, and if you go for a concert, for example, and people eat and drink, or you go for, I don't think they eat and drink in concert, but you eat and drink at a banquet, nobody call you and say, hey, so what are you taking away from this concert? What do you mean by that? You've had a good time. And they say, oh, what are you going to impact your world with from this dinner? My stomach is full. I enjoyed the meal. So after this beach show, those are things we do to enjoy ourselves. But that is not the same thing with Christian meetings. And so oftentimes people have what you call the mountaintop experience, where you are feeling, oh my God, what a move of God. And then you keep saying it till the thing fades away. What a move of God. Oh my God. Someone told me, say, and I hear it every meeting. Say, Pastor, I wish that this camp meeting should never end. I said, so we'll just stay in one place. You are sounding like Peter. Let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. You know, okay. Even one side, let's go. The Bible says in this area, just let's go. We have work to do. So some people just like, let's just enjoy this. Oh my God. Oh, the meetings, the encounters. No, that's not the essence of the encounters. It's not to record it in a diary. God has work to do on earth, and he's working it with you. That is why we have those meetings. Is that very clear? That is why we have those meetings. So in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, just to give an emphasis, a background, which says Jesus Christ, the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham, which means that Matthew intends that we go back to the Old Testament to reread and see the emphasis that he has. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He said, amen. And we said that means that Jesus is not just a man. He was God who became a man. And the way to understand this is that the word I am used here is the Old Testament signature of God. In Mark's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 2 says, it's written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Again, that takes you back to the Old Testament. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make the path straight. The Old Testament provides a background or a premise for the reading of the Old Testament. Here, Mark goes back to Isaiah and Malachi. Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. That's the word devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, Mark 16. They shall take up serpents. If you they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. 19, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he, the Lord, was lifted up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That establishes that he is God. Then it says in verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Notice it says, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following them. So here again, he emphasizes the fact that Jesus is God. So the four gospels give us that fact of God. He has become a man. It's not man becoming God, is God who became Jesus. In Luke's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1, this is Luke, who is a second-hand witness. He says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order to cleanse those things which are most assuredly among us, even as they divide them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having not perfectly understand of all things from the very first, to write to thee under most excellent Theophilus. Verse 4, that thou mightest know certain of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now this is Luke saying that I got these stories from those who were there. In Luke's Gospel 24 and 25, and he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Just like Matthew and Mark, Luke says in 27, Luke 24, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. So Luke goes back to the Old Testament again to tell us what Jesus was teaching. In verse 44, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms concerning me, that you open the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Again, he gives a premise that there is where Jesus is teaching from. Don't forget, Jesus did not teach from the epistles. He don't even teach from the four gospels because they were not written then. So which means the authority of his teaching is found in the Old Testament. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. We have said that the word here, word, is the Old Testament, either the word Dabar, D-A-B-B-A-R, or Memra, M-E-M-R-A, which means the revealed word, that is, where God is revealed to people, where they can interact with him, hear him, and speak with him. In John 20 and verse 22, again, John here brings the emphasis of Jesus being divine, deity. He says in 22, he breathed on them, and that word breathe does not include your nostrils. It simply means he gave them the spirit, or he gave them life. And he takes that directly from Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What he's basically saying is that God gave his spirit to man, or God gave man his spirit, or the spirit of God was working in making man. So the four gospels identify Jesus as God who became man, but very vitally, they take us back to the Old Testament. And we're going to have to refer to that a couple of times too. Now look at Romans 15, quickly. Romans 15, and I'm going to read verse 4. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The word there is doctrine, teaching, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So he says the scriptures and the stories were written for our learning. Which means the Old Testament is not for prophecies alone. The Old Testament is for teaching. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture referring to the Old Testament are inspired of God. And they are profitable for teaching. Which means the Old Testament is not supposed to be a place where you go and cherry pick scriptures, then look for something in the New Testament to connect it with. Rather, it is on its own. That is, the Old Testament on its own, alone on its own, is for teaching. Which means I can do a teaching from the Old Testament. That's what the apostles did. So it says for teaching, for reproof, this is to convince, for correction, yeah, for instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, whatever things happen to them, right, are for our examples and written for our admonition for our admonition, upon whom the hands of the world are come. So, which means we're going to find stories of the Old Testament, which are not just stories, for, you know, when you got just a movie, and you're just watching a story, but they are stories that are meant to be taught, to be explained to us, the importance of such information. Now, I said it earlier that many believers that I know, they don't know how to transition from a special meeting or a great experience into everyday living. From a great experience. And unknown to some people, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. When you just had a good spiritual experience is your most vulnerable moment. That means, just like Jesus when he fasted 40 days, the Bible says the devil came to him. You wonder, why would the devil come just after a great experience? That's interesting. Just immediately after that. And that wasn't the first time that such things will happen. Look at Peter. Peter just had this revelation that he gave to Jesus, and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Wow, well, that's me, that's my translation. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto you, thou art Peter," Matthew 16, verse 17, 18, 19. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven." So then after that, watch this now. Jesus now began to tell them about his death and resurrection. And immediately, watch this. This is the same Peter that just had this mountaintop experience. He began to rebuke Jesus, and he said to him, "Let this thing be far from you. Die where? How would you die?" Jesus had to turn to the same person, "Get behind me, Satan." Which means after such a good experience, he fell into the flesh. That's why many Christians wonder, "But I had a good time, but I was so blessed. How come?" They don't know how to transition from such great meetings. I'll tell you something very practical. In the second service, I'm going to talk about it more. When I go for a meeting, I go with what I will do after. So it's like someone in a school who has no ambition after the school. We call them NFA, right? Is that what we call them? No future ambition. What are you doing after? So I always have what I'm doing after. After a good meeting, I sit back and say, "So what are we doing now?" I can't have camp meeting every day. I can't have camp, not even every week, but I can have the blessedness of camp meeting in my life every day. How do I transition from such a great time to everyday living? Don't forget what I said. Your most vulnerable moment, especially for preachers, is just about when you had that great meeting. If you look at the parable of the sower, Jesus said Satan came immediately. And something you must know about the devil, as stupid as he is always stupid, but he's an experienced stupid enemy. He's got experience in his hands, which means he's amongst other demoniacal forces, they know believers get good times in meetings. They know the impact of meetings. They know what happens to us at such glorious moments. And so you should always expect to have a valley experience if you are not ready to maintain what you have received. And that happens to a good number of people. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. Paul gives an instruction. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. Are you there? I'll wait for you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. If you are there, say amen. I'll wait for you again. That's not everybody. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Are you there now? If you are there, say amen. Now look at it. Now I'm going to back up a little bit to verse 16. rejoice evermore. That's an instruction, right? You rejoice evermore. Then 9:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's take 19 together. Quench not the spirit. 20, despise not prophesying. 21, prove all things. 22, abstain from all. So notice these instructions. These instructions are not footnotes. These instructions are not side comments. You know, in a book you have footnotes. You're not in the body of the book. Or side comments. These instructions are the life wire of Christian living. People like information. I know that. Oh, they just say, oh my God, you know the Holy Ghost is in me forever. They go, ooh. And you know, but they say, okay, now, how does that impact in my Monday morning? In my Tuesday afternoon? They don't wait to listen to that. So when they get out on Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, then their lives look different from Sunday morning. Why? Because they heard the information and ignored the instruction. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Let me see your hand. Are you following what I'm saying? Good. So he says, firstly, rejoice evermore. Secondly, he says, pray without ceasing. Thirdly, he said, give thanks every time, right? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then he says, quench not the spirit. Really not a good translation, because the word quench there is a word identified with fire. Now, you see those words in Ephesians 6:16, where Paul says, the shield of faith, where you are able to quench the fiery. The word fiery there means fire. Fiery darts of the enemy. To quench. The Greek word there is S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. Spenumi. It's used to put out fire. To put out fire. So which means the fire is burning already. Now you go for camp meeting, the fire is burning. You go for a special meeting, the fire is burning. So he says you have a responsibility not to put it out by yourself. Which means that you can put it out just by yourself. Okay? Now, that same word is used in Matthew 12:20. Again, it's used for fire. Mark 9, verse 44, 46, 48 is used for fire. Hebrews 11:34 is used for fire. So now, in your Bible, let us alter the King James Version so that it makes sense to you. Put it there rather than say, quench not the spirit. Put it like this. I'm saying you should rewrite it. That's what I'm saying. Rewrite it, okay? So quenching is for fire, right? So you're going to rewrite it. What you're going to write now is, do not put out the fire of the spirit. Does that make sense? Huh? Does that make sense? Don't put out, you can't put out the spirit. That's not possible. The God's spirit. But you can put out the fire of the spirit, even though we have a proposal, we can look at it and say the fire of your spirit. It's not out of place. But don't put out the fire of the spirit. Now, Paul definitely, who reads the Old Testament and taught from it, must have taken his illustration from the Old Testament. Now, listen carefully. The fire of the Spirit represents service, worship, the presence of God in the Old Testament tabernacle. Service, worship, the presence of God. It also represents revelation. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Then I'll get to Leviticus shortly. 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, chapter 2. So chapter 3. Look at it now. It says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. there was no open vision. Precious means that it is scarce. You know, when something is scarce, that means you hardly have open vision. It wasn't common. You weren't going to see it like before. Now, the next verse says, it came to pass that at that time, Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes began to wax dim and he couldn't see. Let's take verse 3 together. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. That is, the fire almost went out. That is, the fire, you can see the fire is going down. It's going down. And so God called out to Samuel because somewhere Eli was missing it. Look at Leviticus quickly. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 9. And Aaron and his sons, command Aaron and his sons saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night into the morning. Can you see it? Look at it again. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Now look at verse 12. Let's take verse 12 together. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Hold on. It shall not be put out. Is God making a decree of what will happen, or is instructing them what they should do? Excellent. It shall not be put out. Let's go on. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering order upon it, and he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offerings. Now let's take verse 30 together. Everybody, let's go. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. It means we operate today and function as God's priest. Same way he asked Adam in Genesis 2:5 to dress and keep the garden. Responsibility. To dress and keep the garden simply meant to watch over God's space, God's house, God's temple, to serve there. Paul is saying, do not quench the fire of the Spirit. That means you can put it out. You can put out the fire of the Spirit. Don't quench it. Don't put it out. So there are things we'll do, or we could do, that will put out the fire of God's Spirit. The fire of God's Spirit does not keep burning because you are singing. The fire of God's Spirit doesn't keep burning because you said it. No. There is a responsibility that we are given, which means that notice what he said to the priest. He said, you will burn the wood, which means you will be responsible for it. Let me say something to you. A Christian life that doesn't take responsibility is going down the drain. You must take responsibility. You must take responsibility. You won't grow because God loves you. Spiritual growth is not the grace of God is working in me. Even grace of God is working in you, definitely. Spiritual growth is your responsibility. You must take responsibility. So he said to the priest to take responsibility. Paul, he's saying, you and I must not put the fire out. And there are things that put the fire out. There are things that put the fire out. Now, when I got born again on a Sunday, showing you that my salvation is very, very perfect. And, you know, I really felt like a new creature. So, I was given a book to read, New Life in Christ by Reverend Paul Ginodu, and I liked the book, just put it somewhere. I had the book, put it somewhere, and then I was told, okay, you're now a new creature in Christ. All things are passed, all things have become new. But somehow, I don't know what I was thinking. I felt that experience just remained that way. But I never took responsibility. I didn't even change my friends. I went back to the same friends that I had. They were new friends though. And were, you know, interacting. I didn't change anything. I just felt I'm a new creature, you know. And gradually, you know, I started feeling maybe I'm not saved at all. Why did that feeling come? Because I didn't take responsibility to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word to grow thereby. It's your responsibility. You must take responsibility. You must take responsibility after camp meeting, after a church service. You must take responsibility for your spiritual life. Now listen carefully. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Here's Paul. 1 Timothy is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a pastor. And if you notice that Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus because there was trouble going on in Ephesus. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. And Timothy is meant to go and solve a problem. He's saying, go to Ephesus in verse 3, 1 Timothy 1. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So basically, he's going to Ephesus for a firefighting mission. He's going there to ensure that things are put in order and all of that. So, you know, it's very likely that in the mind of Timothy, you know, it's just about, let's just go there. Some people are preaching false doctrine. Let's go, and you know, and then Paul now, in chapter 4 and 14, now instructs him what he should do. He says, neglect not the gift. Let's take it together. 1 Timothy 4, 14, let's go. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands. Now hold on there. It says, neglect it not. Now, the Greek here is the word amelio. A-M-E-L-E-O. And that word means to be careless, to be negligent, to not take responsibility. What's negligence? You are not careful. Negligence means you are just not careful. Negligence means you are careless. Don't be careless about the gift, which is in you. Now look at what he says. He says, by prophecy, laying on hands, which is a special meeting, right? Come on. So he says, do not be careless. So I can be careless. Do not be careless. So told me, say, well, I said, so after camp meeting, what did you go to? Say, I and my friends went to the cinema. What a way to keep the fire of the Spirit. Cinema? They went to the cinema. That's what you went to do. Why? He said, I just felt, you know, after those meetings, it was just that holiday. By that Tuesday now, I have to go back to work again. Not a member of this church. Oh. And I said, because Tuesday I'm going back to work, so I just felt that Monday, I should just, that Monday. Did you hear the instruction I gave on Monday morning? I said, oh, it's true. Carelessness. And I said to the person, you know that all of us who were pastors and leaders in Saints Community Church, we're all here till Friday. Right? We're all here till Friday. People had meetings, prayer meetings. We're all here. That means you went, and we do that every time. Do a special meeting, we wait behind. We're all here. I haven't had rest for weeks. I'm going to rest, don't worry. I know you're looking at me, Pastor. I understand that part, but hey. I know. But I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to try to say, let me just take a vacation. You know, no! You are looking for trouble. How would you go to cinema that Monday after everything that happened? And another song again. What's that your song? I said, I lay down I lay down. So he laid down the entire meeting. I lay down. I lay down. So all the session, I lay down. I lay down. To go and watch movie. Hey! No, that's being careless. Are you here? That's being careless. He said, neglect not the gift. Means to in Hebrews 2 and verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time we drift away. Lest at any time we drift away. You take heed. Then it says in verse 2, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience will just cover the reward, how shall we escape, verse 3, if we neglect such great salvation? To neglect means that you just, in fact, another shade of that word is that you really don't, you didn't take it as seriously. You know, there was I'll share this with you. A brother was telling me, he said, when you mention meetings, he was listening to me. He said, the program you were referring to, I was there. I said, I know. He said, I almost didn't see everything you are talking about. You know why? He forgot. He said, I never did. Because after those meetings, you were there, I was there, but I went with a different intention. And I left with a different expectation. So your attitude matters a lot. Look at in 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, stir up the gifts, which means to rekindle it. The Greek word there is A-N-A-Z-Z-O-P-U-R-E-O. It means to just keep stoking the fire. To keep stoking the fire. To stoke it up. Just like the priest. You have to keep it up. You have to keep burning the wood. You have to keep doing something about it. You have to keep doing something about it. A fellow was telling me, said, our fellowship, I don't know, sir, it's not growing. It's not growing. So I remember I was just there. I said, okay, now, what are you doing about it? He said, I don't know, I'm just wondering. So he said, I'm trying to see whether I can go to a program. You know, a program I can go, maybe they can, you know, he's looking for something, easy way out. I said, there is no easy way out. I said, you need to attend to that fellowship. You need to be there. You need to pray about it every day. No amount of prophecy you are giving. And I set forth and I speak forth. Do you know how many Holy Ghost people I've been to? And people have said, I've set forth. I'm going forth. And you set forth. And then you set forth. I mean, so there was a time we used to have Holy Ghost meetings every day. And 2/3 of the people who attended it are not in the ministry today. I mean, we're being conservative. So, giving prophecy, I take it, does it take away your responsibility? No. I receive it. Oh, glory, hey, I thank you, Father. How is my time? It's my season. I don't know. It's all okay. Now, what are you doing on Monday? Are you here? What are you doing on Monday? Is there someone praying for you? I say, prosperity will be yours in Jesus' name. So you say, amen. Then Monday morning you are sleeping. The person who didn't have the prayer will succeed. The person they did not pray for. I declare and decree. We're writing an exam. And then people were going for exam prayer day. So they told me, say, Pastor, are you not coming? I said, no. Say why? I said, I've not read. That was the answer I get. He said, but this guy, he made a first class. I said, I heard. When I read, and I'm sure that what I read, when they ask me, I'll answer it, I'll come for the prayer. It looked like I was a, I mean, I walked past the prayer meeting like this and I walked away. What are you talking about? Go and read. Are you following what I'm saying here? It says, stir it up. Stir it up. So don't leave on the mountaintop and say, whoa, yay, what a meeting. It doesn't end there. You know, Moses, when he went to the mountain and he came back, the Bible says in Exodus 32, now, that they couldn't even behold his face. They were like, oh, you know, but you know, gradually the thing faded away. So those experiences will fade away. They will fade away. I once had a time like that. I came out from one intense prayer and fasting. As I came out, people were running. I mean, they were running. Ah! One of the persons that first said, ah! I saw the way you were looking. The way you were looking. After a while, the same people even abused me. So it will fade away. Do you understand? You just go, ah! I just leave a camp meeting. Oh, I just... You can't do this on Monday. I'm like, why? Even your mouth will be paining you. What am I to do next? The same Moses that said we couldn't look at Moses. Oh, Moses, oh. This is the glory upon him. After a while, they said, get away. So it means it will go. Elijah had just spoken to the prophets of Baal, to the number of all of them. You know, he called for rain. It rained in fall. Sorry, the first time he called for rain. Then after a while, he just saw an email from a woman. How did they burn you well? Elijah said, they have not my life. So which means that, really, you cannot build on experiences. Experiences are good. You must keep having them. They are meant to trigger you to something. But you cannot live on them. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? So, look at Acts 13. Turn there quickly. Acts 13. And go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you with me? Put your hands in Acts 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here is Paul. Look at his instructions. So, what must I do regularly? Verse 16. I must rejoice. How often? Always. Forevermore. Look at verse 17. I must what? Pray without ceasing. I must pray without ceasing. I must pray without ceasing. Look at the next one. In everything, in what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can't ignore those three things. How do I burn the wood? I rejoice. How do I ensure the wood is burned always? I pray without ceasing. How would I ensure the wood is burning continually? I give thanks all the time. They say, quench not the fire of the Spirit. Which means the fire of the Spirit will go off if I don't rejoice, if I complain, if I don't pray. If I complain and I don't pray. That's why you see some believers, their experiences are always on and off. At some moment they have a good, wow! Then they go, whoa! Off. What's going on? Because they are not paying attention to the instructions. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Which means you must do things that are regular. Regular. You know, I was raised in good prayer meetings. We used to go to Fiditi then in the 90s, early 90s, to have retreats and we'd go pray, New Foundation Mission, and we used to pray. But I'd never had an experience of a very, very long prayer meeting. So we went to a year in Korea 2 years after. And that prayer meeting was something else. We prayed for 3 days. Just had short breaks, but intense. And I said, wow. I tried to run away the first day. By the time I saw the thing was extending. Nobody told me now. You should have told me first. I'll have prepared my mind. So I went to my HOD, Pastor Tayo, he's a pastor in Lagos now. So I said, I have an assignment. I just cooked it up that there should be an assignment. There should be an assignment somewhere. I have an assignment. I'm supposed to submit it. So, sorry for that. I said, no problem. If you had told me, I would have, this is a good meeting, sir, but I have to go. Yeah, I need to get out of here, man. So, I was packing my bag. But you know, that's why it's good to choose a venue that is far. You know, when you're walking in the wilderness, you have time to repent. So as I was walking, the gate was very far. I was walking and I was thinking, you know there is no assignment. She you know. I know. But they did not tell me. Now, they had told me I would have prepared my body, my soul, and my spirit for this. I wasn't told. It's not good. Even God will tell us things. They did not tell us anything. As I was going, I said, if you wait, for whose sake is it? You are the one that has not prayed. I said, that's true. That's why if it was straight to the gate, I'd have been in the bus. And I've been going. So I'll have said, I don't have money to return, you know. So every excuse around the heaven has come up. But they made sure that the venue was far. I remember we now had to choose a venue for our camp meeting in 1998. Myself and Pastor Dokuido, who is a leader at Rema Bible Training Center, Abuja now. He said, this is a very good venue. CREAM, Koko Research Institute. It will take you like 1.5 hours to get to the gate. So someone said that. When her name is, what's her name again? She's a pastor in London now. She said, Odonika, you people, this venue is meant to keep us here so that we have nowhere to escape. I said, yes, it's dripped. You can't go 1.5 hours and you do not return. You are not a believer. Abba. So I came back. So when I came back, I said to myself, it's for my sake. I'll wait. I know in the future, this is going to bless people. So I waited. When we were done, I went back to Korodu then. I was staying in Korodu then. We went there and we had a prayer meeting till about 11 p.m. Immediately, by the next day, we now created a prayer pattern. That's why we can have WCC today. You have to have something you are doing. You say, man, some people after what you just going to say, wow. That was I know someone say that was a meeting. You will never miss this kind of, this is a meeting. Every minister, I say, I hear this every year. Every minister should be, in fact, this venue should be bigger. The next year, he didn't come. The next year, because he's a pastor, he was not trying to do that meeting in his church. You know that kind of thing. He didn't come. I said, I warned you. Don't make too much mouth. Too much mouth is what Peter said. I'll never leave you, Lord. You and I. 5 and 6. You don't make too much mouth. Go and consecrate. Go and start praying. When you start praying, it won't be an event. Like you are dreading the day as it comes. Did you see December? No, it's January. He was asking in November. When is it? It's December. And we are holding it this year. And that's how to relieve an experience. You must have what to do. Look at Acts 13. No, I'm not done. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, Paul now says, quench not the spirit. Then he says, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. That word despise means to not pay attention to it. The word exothenio, exothenio, is about the same thing. To not pay attention to it. Then it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. The word prove there, now some versions have not really used it well, is the word in Romans 12:2. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. Then it says service. Then in verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. That word means to test. Now, let me explain this to you very well. You know, there's a way you can test something to see if the thing is there. Let's test. Is it good? Is it bad? And they say, let's test it. Let's, you know, that one you're trying to find out whether it's good or bad. But there's a test drive, which means you have been told what this thing can do. Put it to practice. So that's the word here. Prove all things. This means put the prophecies to work. And all fast to that which is good. That which is good is the prophecies. So, quickly, go to Acts 13. Here is Paul. This is the error many make. Acts 13. Paul and Barnabas. Acts 13 1. You there now? Acts 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and so on. The first thing you have to notice here is, he was in church. This is someone that Jesus appeared to. But he was in church. The church is God's structure and order for us obeying and following his plan. He was in church. So guys say, well, Jesus has called me. I had a vision from Jesus and all that. It's between me and Jesus. You know what I say? Between me and Jesus. What between you and Jesus? You think it's a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship? No, it's not. Then it says in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate them, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I have called them. Wow! He goes, oh, yay! Oh, separate Barnabas and Saul, wow, what an utterance. What an experience. And all that. And then he said, wow. Then he writes it down. Write it down. The Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul, for the work. He recorded the prophecy. How the prophecy. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Oh, yes. Ah! What an utterance. I was so blessed at that point. Paul, I was so blessed. As soon as they heard that prophecy, Paul and Barnabas said, guy, what an encounter. See utterance. See revelation. So they went to IGH. They packed their bags. Emoji. What a meeting. What a meeting. Where are your car keys? Let's go, let's go. I mean, what a meeting. And then they went on Facebook. Carrie's camp meeting. It's better felt. Wow. Wow. Now, they really had an experience. Wow. Ah! The Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said. No. It's not a feel-good experience. Look at the next verse. Let's stick it together. Verse 3. And? Uh-huh. When they had what? They fasted and prayed. It's not a feel-good experience. It's an experience that delivers you responsibility. They had to fast and pray. Have you written down moments, times and days you got to fast and pray on the things you received at camp meeting? If you haven't, that fire is going out. Prayer and fasting. Years ago, we had this vision, 1992. And it was about the gospel. And a group of friends. So we met at Star Palace. Star Palace was on the way to Bayeku Ikorodu. And we met. And we sang this song, God of great courage, source of our strength. We held our hands. We said, oh God, what you, and we sat down, we said, Lord, this is what God wants to do. And the prophets were coming out, and I'll do this, says the Lord. And they were true. Do this, says the Lord. And we worshiped. Some people fell down on their faces and they cried. Then as we were done, I said to them, let us take time to fast over this. And every day let's pray for 2 weeks. Then I said, it's true. They took it like another utterance. Whoo! Hallelujah. Go fast. So I said, so tomorrow was a Monday. We're going to fast and pray. So I went to check the brethren. Because we're going to pray in the evening. Just to check brethren about fasting mode. Then there's a brother. He had a round, you know those round center tables? That had, some stools. Small stools that have cushion, right? So they had brought them out. And he had put food in the middle. On the first day. Not the second day. The very first day. I said, bro. He said, said the Holy Ghost told him. The Holy Ghost told you. So those ones who were now inspired by him, by the evening, he just said, you think the fasting should just be one day? And I said to them, I won't stop. So I extended mine, I think for 1 month. Because what I saw was more than just a town. To keep the fire burning. Began to fast. So the people that now followed that vision were not the first set of people. It was a new set that were not even born again when we got that vision. They were not born again. What does that mean? None of us is indispensable. God will use someone else. I'm not saying that to mock them. If I do the same thing, he will use someone else for what I'm doing. It's just that simple. And I said, guys, I'm just, the people that now work with the vision were not even born again. You have to keep the fire of the Spirit. Was it a genuine vision? Yeah. Was it a genuine experience? Yes. But there are responsibilities to be done. In Acts of the Apostles, Jesus told them to wait in the city of Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, Luke 24:49. And they did. And what a great experience, right? Acts 2:1, the Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. Acts 2:2. And they appeared unto them. Acts 2:3. Cloven tongues as a fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they go, oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, see the bricks. See those songs. I hear the Lord. I see the Lord. He says I see the Lord. Have great outpourings. Outpourings of the Holy Ghost. He still speaks today. Look at the meetings. I love the West. I love the way stuff. I love the way stuff. They go, ooh, glory! How? Oh, come and see water of knowledge flowing. And he said all that. The Bible says, Peter lifted up his voice and preached. That is the reason for the outpouring. Ministry. He preached. He didn't say, see, they are arguing. You say, what minute this? What minute what? You don't know what's happening to us here. Glory to God, just glory. We'll preach later. Let's enjoy this first. Immediately he preached. Acts 2:41, about 3,000 were added to the church. Acts 2:42, Luke 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. Look at it, Acts 2:43. There were now signs and wonders done. Now, notice what now happened. And all that believe were in common, that is that local church? Structure to follow the instruction. Now, look at verse 47. And the Lord added to the church, how often? Daily. So it was not just one time experience. There was a consistency that birthed greater results. How would you leave camp meeting and the next service, church service, you are not there? What does that even mean? You left camp meeting, the next prayer meeting, you did not attend it. Say, I'm cooling off camp meeting. I want to cool off. Yeah, you are going to really cool off. The fire will go out. So, for every experience we have from God, there is a ministry outlet for it. Service. Don't forget, we continue to fast and pray. We create a routine to fast and pray. When Jesus appeared to the 12 and the 120, after the experience they had, learning the word, knowing the gospel, he gives them the Great Commission. What are you doing after camp meeting? Camp meeting should deepen your commitment to your cell group. Camp meeting should make you more available. Camp meeting should make you much more accessible. Camp meeting should make you much more diligent. Much more diligent. So that you don't need to tell people, I went for camp meeting, I had a good time. It will show in the fruits that you have. Are you with me here? Camp meeting should show your commitment. Camp meeting should show in the things you are no longer committed to. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Paul says, do not be deceived. Evil communication will take away the experiences. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You, after camp meeting, you still remain with the same circle of friends that did not give you a proper spiritual upbringing. Everything is going to disappear. Everything is going to disappear. After camp meeting, the same places you used to hang out that never contributed to your spiritual growth, you are going back there. You're definitely going to lose the fire. You will lose the fire. You have to lose the fire because you're going around what will douse the fire of the Spirit. I always say this to people. This time around, I don't know what to say. I said, the world you are returning to didn't come for that camp meeting. Don't expect them not to be hostile to you. Are you here? Don't expect them not to be hostile to you. After the baptism of John, Jesus went to the wilderness to fast. And he said, oh, what a meeting. What a meeting. 40 days, Matthew records. And look, he's there to fast and pray. And when he's done fasting and praying, and he's strengthened by the angels, he goes to preach immediately. Have you done evangelism this last week? How many souls are in God's kingdom because you went for camp meeting? How many people did you minister to? How many hours have you studied the word of God? How many decisions have you made? Where's the consecration list you made? If that's not happening, brother and sister, the fire is going out. You can only keep the fire of the Spirit by consistency. Else, you have the mountaintop experience and then the valley experience. The mountaintop experience, a good time, and then the valley experience. Are you with me? I went for a camp meeting like that in Ibadan. I'm sure it's 94 or 5. And I was really touched by the power. Before the camp meeting, I spent time fasting. And I took time to pray because I was part of the prayer team. And I had 2 nights without sleeping. So when the camp meeting was over, and I didn't sleep throughout the camp meeting, I was knocked out. I slept for almost 2 days. That is non-stop. The brethren came to wake me up. As soon as I got back, and as soon as I got up from the sleep, I just continued to fast and pray. And I took another 30 days or so to fast and pray. In fact, when I was going to break the fast, the sister that prepared the Indomie, she heard the teaching recently. She said, oh, yeah, that day. I said, yeah. She said, well, I can't even remember what happened. I said, ah, that day that you gave me Indomie to break my fast. And I vomited everything in your presence. Oh, you know. Why? This was years ago, almost 30 years ago. And there is that consistency. You must put consistency. There must be a routine to it. What are you doing every day? To keep the fire of the Spirit. You can't have camp meeting every day. Acts 4. In verse 30 and 31, it said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken together. What an encounter. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory! And they spoke the word of God with boldness. There must be an outlet for the things you have heard, for the things you have received. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. Responsibility. Camp meeting should deepen your commitment to lives. It should show in your Bible study. It should show in the way you live by example. It should show in the way you are generous. It should show in the way that you respond to instructions. It should make you more aware of the leading of the Spirit of God in your life. Are you here? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 20. It says, despise not prophesies. Despise not prophesies. What does that mean? It means that you and I must give more room to supernatural utterances, either from us or from others. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. As I told you earlier, it means to test on those things. Which means you bring the experience to your everyday living. So that flowing with the Holy Spirit, flowing with the Holy Ghost will not be an event for you. It will be a routine. For example, when you go out on evangelism, you ensure that you practice the things of the Spirit. When you go out on evangelism, you minister to people. The next morning, you're having your devotion. You wake up. I tell the leaders, the moment you are done with a meeting like that, plan a vigil for yourself. It may not be all night, but night just wake up and recapture that experience. Then it becomes useful for your everyday life. Or else, the move of God will be in your past. Are you following what I'm saying? Hear this. I always tell leaders this. They know what I'm about to say. That when a meeting is over, I talk about the next one. The next one, I'm talking about a believer's convention camp meeting. Then I start talking about prayer group. Number two, hear this one very well. You know how you run a race and you thought that that race was 100 meters. Meanwhile, it's 800 meters. Then you start, whoo! I remember when we were doing a cross country race, one guy just took a ball! And we're going to run several kilometers. By the time we got to the gate, They started taking glucose. That's the gate. We are not yet gotten to the main route. Taking glucose. By the time he moved away from the gate, he was already on the floor. Because his race was 100 meters. And I said to them, you know, if you thought it was 100 meters, I supposed to be 800 meters. And I get to 100 meters, I said, who has I running past you? He said, what's everybody going? He said 100 meters. You know, to pick up is going to be difficult. What am I saying that for? It's a long haul. Do you hear me? It's a long haul. Camp meeting is not our zenith. No church service our zenith. We move from one degree of God's glory to another. In the name of Jesus. We keep advancing. Say we keep advancing. We keep advancing. So we move from one step to another step to another step to another step to another step. That must be in your mind all of the time. It must be in your thinking all of the time. That's when I'm going for any meeting. I prepare for it. Before it and after it. I have meetings I attend. That I go to. I'm not a preacher. I don't go there to teach. I don't go there because I'm known. I fast before it. I fast during it. I fast after it. And many times, those meetings give me the direction of our church and ministry in the days to come. If I don't prepare well, it will affect others. Whatever I do is going to affect others. So you should take the fire on. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. You see the way you prepared for the meeting? You had some time to fast. You studied the word of God. You had great expectations and all that. That's the way you are going to have to continue. But this time around, it's going to be an everyday affair. Break it into every day. You attend World Changers Conference where we pray for long hours. You can't pray for long hours every day. But you can make sure there's a routine that keeps your prayer life going on. You got the fire now. Now keep it burning. You got the fire of utterance. Pastor, I gave a word of knowledge for the first time. Yeah, now start going for evangelism. Pastor, I laid hands on the person who was healed. Now start going for evangelism. Pastor, there was so much revelation in the meeting. Now start hearing the word of God more. Oh, Pastor, that day, there was just a burning of the nations that fell upon me. Now, open a prayer book and write what you are going to be praying for every day. Pastor, what way people blessed me and I was a blessing to the believers. Make yourself more available at your cell meetings. That is how to keep the fire burning. Or else, like I said earlier, you have a mountaintop experience and everything will just fade away. And when that happens to many believers, they will start to criticize what they used to get blessed with. They will criticize it. Why? Because they've lost it. One guy said to me, he said, I used to attend all those meetings where they'll be laughing. He said, like fools. That's what he said. He wrote it, sorry, he didn't say it. Like fools. So I used to attend this meeting. I done that. So I called someone. I said, read what he just wrote. I said, write it down. The guy was in the ministry then. I said, write it down what I'm about to say. I said, a few years down the line, no one will know he's a believer. And that happened exactly. Rather than admit that you didn't keep the fire of God's spirit, you mocked it. Anything you mock that is of God, particularly when you should have enough information, you are going to suffer for it. I've warned you. If you don't understand, what does Jesus do? Shut up. You keep quiet. And when you don't keep the fire of God's spirit, then you start to struggle. You wonder, but I had a great time in camp meeting. Don't forget, camp meeting is a corporate flow. It's a corporate flow. Now it's time for you to have the individual walk of that corporate flow, which will also bring your commitment to the local assembly. Let your cell group know that you were a captain. Let your PCF group know that you are a captive. Let your disciples know you are a captive. Let your neighbors know. Let your family know. Because if they don't know in your family that you walk with God, what a testimony that you have. You don't know your family that you walk with God. You know, my dad really initially never liked my being in the ministry. But one day he said something to me. He said, no one will be this consistent as you have been if you never heard from God. He said, I've observed you. One day, there were people in my house, my cousins, and he said, we don't even know what God is saying. Someone said, oh, no, keep quiet. What do we all know? We're all watching movies every day. Ooh, didn't God be talking to all of you? He said, is that guy is not never with us? Is that why fasting and pray? We should hear him, what God is saying. He said, we all hear, our ears are far away. And it was being sincere. He knew that dedication and the life. And I didn't live a bad example in the house. And they said, oh, you just be going for a program. He's so lazy, going for a program. And they'll send him on an errand. He will keep the change. Fire of the spirit. His conduct is bad. He lies. Holy Ghost fire. He's not taking his academics seriously. Holy Ghost fire. Not taking his work seriously. He's a businessman. He doesn't even go out on Mondays. He's fasting throughout the day again. Holy Ghost fire. No. It must burn in your life to affect your world. It must burn in your life to affect your life, the lives of others. So I want you to make a commitment, closing here, to keep the fire of God's Spirit. We have an instruction. It's an instruction. Let me say this. The life wire of Christian living are the instructions. Flee from fornication. Flee from idolatry. Pray without ceasing. Let your light so shine. That's the life wire of Christian living. How you handle the instructions. Take heed to yourself. Meditate upon these things. Keep yourself holy unto them. Give yourself holy unto them. Pardon me. That's the life wire of Christian living. Flee from all appearance of evil. Life wire. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Come out from amongst them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 18 and 19. That is where, verse 18. That is where the life wire of Christian living is. So I'll close this way. What are the direct instructions you have from the camp meeting? I'm not saying all this. Step out. There's a walk in your hand. All those. See, I'll talk about the second service. I remember my daughter was asking me that she had this impression on her heart. And I said to her, she said, what do I do? I said, go and tell your pastor. Her pastor reports to me. But I said, go and discuss with your pastor first. That's my daughter. Because that's the structure and order God has placed in your life. If you want me to talk to you like your dad, it won't be a blessing to you. Go back to the order that God has placed in your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's my daughter. So you need to ensure that doing the right things the right way, okay? The days ahead are better. The days ahead of us are better. The days ahead of us are brighter. The days ahead of us have greater glory in them as we yield ourselves to consistent living, commitment, consecration. We'll see many things come to pass in the name of Jesus. Did you hear something this morning? It's time to our feet. Let's just pray. Pray.